I'm Marco Werman with The World. Donald Trump talks a lot about the evils of trade deals and trade imbalances. The president has proposed slapping tariffs, a tax on imports, on our trading partners. Yet most research shows that overall, lowering trade barriers is good for the economy. So what's going on? The World's Jason Margolis has a quick history of trade and tariffs in the United States.
Let's say the year is 1750. If I lived in Massachusetts and you lived in New York and I wanted to sell you a few things, we would have had some problems. Britain's King George III didn't want his colonies trading amongst each other. He wanted raw materials to flow through England first. Economist Mike Hicks at Ball State University in Indiana says Britain's mercantilist society wreaked havoc on the 13 colonies.
It ruined our banking system, which remained in sort of infantile, and it prevented states from growing. I even think there's an argument to be made that it caused slavery to be more pervasive than it would have otherwise been because it prevented the manufacturing growth in the southern states.
King George wanted cotton from the south, not competition. But in 1776, the colonies declared independence, and the founding fathers wanted to make sure individual states didn't put up trade barriers against each other.
And because they knew that would make everybody worse off. And so the Interstate Commerce Clause in the Constitution was really designed to make the United States the world's first free trading bloc. And the prosperity that we have enjoyed for 241 years now really comes from that basic intuition.
But while the founders made interstate trade easy, they made international trade hard. Professor Emeritus Stephen S. Cohn with UC Berkeley picks up the historical thread.
We started as a high tariff nation at the very beginning. It was Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton. You could say he kind of looked out the window one morning and said, "What kind of economy is this?"
Hamilton pushed for a central bank, a strong federal government, and high tariffs to shelter infant industries.
It was a general to everything coming in. And it got up there, it was 18, 20-some-odd percent. So this was a substantial protective barrier.
That's basically how things went for the next century and a half. If Americans needed, say, a chair in the 19th century, they bought an American-made chair or spent a lot of money on an exotic import. Then came World War II. The United States emerged as the most powerful nation on Earth, and American leaders developed a new way of looking at commerce.
Trade would help bring the nations together and help open up all these other economies and democratize them. And the central organizing question became very, very quickly after the war, Soviet communism.
More trade was seen as a bulwark against communist expansion. And so from the late 1940s until today, with occasional exceptions, U.S. tariffs have remained basically close to zero. Now we can buy less expensive chairs from around the globe. American exporters have new markets. And yes, many Americans have lost jobs to foreign competition. But the vast majority of economists in the U.S. agree. More free trade brings more overall prosperity. For 12 presidential administrations, leaders from both parties followed this advice. Then Donald Trump burst onto the scene. He's threatened tariffs of 45% on China and 35% on Mexico, two of our biggest trading partners. It's not unprecedented. American leaders imposed especially high tariffs before, with an infamous act of Congress passed in 1930.
Anyone? Anyone? A tariff bill? The Hawley Smoot Tariff Act. Did it work? Anyone?
That's Ben Stein playing a high school economics teacher in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Here's a real economist with the answer, Lee Brandstetter at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh.
Soaring American tariffs set off a global trade war. Our trading partners retaliated and global trade fell sharply, deepening the Great Depression.
So if Trump imposes high tariffs, could it set off another global trade war?
It's possible. It is very possible.
Again, economist Stephen S. Cohn.
He said he's going to slap 45% tariffs on everything coming out of China. I don't know. Let's say he does it. Well, I would hate to be owning Apple stock or Boeing stock that morning.
Meaning China could quickly retaliate against American interests. And those iPhones made in China? A tariff would immediately make them even more expensive for American consumers. But Trump has argued all along, if we curb imports from China, we'll start building again in the United States. Problem is, it doesn't work like this. If China stops assembling iPhones, workers in lower-wage countries like Vietnam or Malaysia would likely pick up the slack, not people in Ohio and Indiana. And remember, that's Trump's stated goal in all of this, bringing jobs back home. So if Trump has heard all of this, what's going on? Some political analysts think Trump's talk of tariffs is just political bluster or perhaps an empty threat. Cohen says whatever the president is thinking, he has tapped into how large swaths of the country feel about trade.
So what we've had is some of us have benefited from trade and some of us have lost badly.
Economists of all stripes have varied recommendations on how to create jobs in places like the Rust Belt. But it's hard to find any from the right or the left, as well as business leaders or Republican leaders in Congress who think imposing high tariffs is the right answer. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.